Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
Blow out the candle. President Obama's health reform law turns 1 year old today, and it remains divisive. In the latest Kaiser Health Issues poll, about half of Americans say they like the law, about half say they don't, and about half say they're confused by it. Now, that means many Americans who admit they don't understand something have an opinion about it anyway, but when has ignorance ever stopped people from having opinions? We will mark the birthday now, not with cake and ice cream, or with brickbats, but by trying to clear up some of that confusion with a leading Obama administration official working on it. Rima Cohen, a longtime health policy expert from here in New York, is counselor to the Secretary of Health and Human Services. Previously, she's been with the New York State Hospital Association, argued on behalf of the Bloomberg administration for the Zadroga bill covering 9/11 workers with more health benefits, and she was a health policy advisor to former Senate Majority Leader Tom Daschle, one of the most knowledgeable senators on the issue, who President Obama first wanted to put in charge of health reform. So, Rima Cohen, thank you very much for coming on. Welcome to WNYC.
Thank you, Brian. Good morning.
And listeners, this segment is for your access to an Obama health reform official. So any questions you have for Rima Cohen, call us up right now, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692, or post it to our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. If you're just confused and curious about a provision of the law, or if you want to support or challenge whether it's a good thing, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Just please ask a specific question. This is not a segment for your speeches about health reform. We've had plenty of those. But call us up, 212-433-9692, or post your question or comment as health reform turns one to itsafreecountry.org. And while the calls are coming in, Ms. Cohen, I have a question. Yeah. Since Kaiser finds half of all Americans are confused about the law, what do you think is the biggest point of confusion? What do people not understand or misunderstand that you would most like to clear up?
I think certainly after a year of debate in the Congress and a lot of misinformation, there are plenty of myths about the health care bill. I think one of the things I'd like to clear up is that I know that seniors, I've seen the polling that says that seniors believe that the health reform law takes benefits away from them, and nothing could be farther from the truth on that score. In fact, the health reform bill, the Affordable Care Act, provides seniors with all kinds of new benefits and protections, including free preventive care services for which they now have to pay copays and deductibles, new benefits in the prescription drug area that have actually already started to kick in with subsidies for people who have the what we call Part D coverage, but there's a big gap in coverage that is commonly referred to as the donut hole. The Affordable Care Act closes the donut hole over time, and this past year, seniors who fell into that coverage gap got a $250 check to help offset their costs. So there are a host of benefits for seniors. And so some of the myths that they have heard about benefits being taken away are simply not the case.
Now, the president has already started to tweak his position on the essential funding mechanism of the bill, which is also the most unpopular part and facing a constitutional challenge, the mandate that all Americans buy health care if they're not covered some other way. the president apparently now says if states can get close to universal coverage some other way, they should get waivers to do that. Here is the president speaking to the Governors Association.
If your state can create a plan that covers as many people as affordably and comprehensively as the Affordable Care Act does, without increasing the deficit, you can implement that plan, and we'll work with you to do it. I've said before, I don't believe that any single party has a monopoly on good ideas, and I will go to bat for whatever works, no matter who or where it comes from.
So, Ms. Cohen, I'm curious to know from you as an Obama official and also a longtime expert on health care, what are the leading other ways that states might achieve that?
Well, first I wanted to address the way you sort of characterize this. Actually, in the Affordable Care Act right now, current law, states may apply for waivers from some of the provisions of the Affordable Care Act in 2017 if they can demonstrate that they can achieve the goals of the Affordable Care Act, which are an expansion in health insurance coverage, health security for Americans, and without increasing the deficit. So if they can meet sort of those basic goals of the Affordable Care Act, and they can think of better ways to do it or ways that are sort of more consistent with their the local market conditions, then they can apply for this waiver. What the president has suggested is that perhaps we should move up the date that for which states can apply for these waivers from 2017 to 2014. So it's not really a change in position. It's just saying that we think that states, and some of which are saying we need more flexibility. We share the goals of the Affordable Care Act, but we think we have a better way to do it. So
right. But what are some, I mean, because we keep hearing, oh, the only way to fund this, to give the subsidies to all the people who need it, who don't have coverage, is to get everybody, the young and healthy people and everyone, into the system with a mandate. But when President Obama was a candidate, it was Hillary Clinton who favored the individual mandate, and Obama opposed it as too burdensome on individuals. And yet he said on the campaign trail that he could attain universal coverage without it. And then recently to the governors, he emphasized that if there are other ways, that are that's fine. Can you articulate a leading other way?
Well, I'd like to see what the states come up with, because certainly a number of states have said they believe they can achieve the goals of the Affordable Care Act. And we've heard everything from Vermont, which would like to implement a single-payer system, to a completely competitive market-based system that might be based on health insurance exchanges and subsidies for individuals to buy coverage in the private insurance market, perhaps expansions beyond what we've seen, what's called for in the Affordable Care Act in Medicaid. So I think there's sort of a variety of tools that states can employ, and every state is different. The market conditions are different in every state. The number of uninsured, the profile of the uninsured, it varies by state. So I think it will be interesting to see what states may come up with.
All right. We're going to take calls from our listeners. And we had a listener call in last hour as we were doing another segment on inflation in America. And Fran from Westchester called in to complain about a certain kind of inflation that she's seeing in her business. And it was so relevant to this segment that I told Fran I would play her question for you. So here it is.
My company pays for me, but I have to pay for the rest of my family, and it's a total of about $18,000 a year for health insurance. This year it went up about $200 a month, and we just got a notice that it's going up another like 10 or 12%. Does it really correspond with what the actual costs are? I don't understand how people can really afford to pay $18,000 a year in health insurance, and I know I'm not alone. You know, it's so much money.
So, Ms. Cohen, where is the cost savings that people were hoping would start to kick in? And is the health reform law actually driving health insurance inflation higher?
Absolutely not. In fact, one of the main goals of the Affordable Care Act is to start to bring down both the underlying health care costs and health insurance premiums, and also provide subsidies for those who cannot afford coverage. And there are a number of ways that that the Affordable Care Act will do that. One of the ways that I don't hear enough conversation about is the fact that everybody who has health insurance today is paying for those folks who do not have health insurance and access the healthcare system. So those folks do not really get free care. They may not be paying for the care themselves, but somebody is paying for that care.
It's a hidden cost that we all pay for through our taxes or insurance premiums.
Absolutely, and that tax is estimated to be, I think in 2009, was about $1,000 per family health insurance policy for insured people. So that's an additional cost that we'd like to see spread much more broadly, including to people without health insurance coverage now who are willing to contribute something to their coverage, but they simply can't afford the full premium.
So that makes sense in theory, but in the meantime, private insurance is getting more expensive since the bill passed. I think the insurance companies say that's what happens when you require more comprehensive coverage and block them from offering bare bones plans.
Well, actually, that is not what the Affordable Care Act has done. So I think any insurance company that blames their premium increases on the Affordable Care Act is using that as an excuse. In fact, we've seen...
Aren't there requirements for more things to be covered and more people to be covered, like children with pre-existing conditions, that would push up, I'm not saying it's wrong, but it would push up the cost of insurance companies, right?
Well, actually, having everybody under the health insurance system, having everyone have insurance, actually reduces costs for those people who currently have insurance and are subsidizing those who don't. And again, those people do get care. They get it either they may be on a public program that is subsidized by taxpayer dollars, or for instance, in New York, there's a large, I think it's about $800 million uncompensated care pool that compensates, and it's of course paid for by taxpayer dollars that pay hospitals and other institutions for their uncompensated care costs. So again, many of these folks, if you have a child with a pre-existing condition, that child is getting some health services. We hope that child is getting health services, and somebody is paying for that. Bringing them into the system actually spreads the costs more evenly. And another thing that the Affordable Care Act does, and we've actually seen it be effective even before some of the actual protections kicked in, was in making health insurance premiums more transparent. There are rules that kick in this year that require health insurance companies to not only post their premiums publicly, but justify premium increases that are above a certain threshold, and states may exclude those health insurers from the health insurance exchanges in 2014 if they think the premiums are unreasonable. And there's also a requirement that health insurers pay out a certain amount in benefits instead of keeping the money for administrative costs and profits. And those standards are just kicking in now, and insurers that can't meet those standards have to provide rebates to customers. So while the Americans may not see the effects yet, they will very soon. But we did actually see last year, and in fact, just a few weeks ago, we saw insurance companies that were going to hike their premiums. In one case in California, it was as much as 85% in 1 year. And the Department of Health and Human Services, the Obama administration, the insurance commissioner in California shined a light on that, and the health insurance company rescinded that.
So as far as Fran and Westchester and her business, you're saying wait until 2014 when this whole thing kicks in and the mandate takes effect and there are more people in the pool and you're going to see your rates go down?
And you don't have to wait until 2014. 2014 is when the full array of benefits kick in, but Fran will be seeing more and more benefits. For instance, I don't know anything about her business, but there is a small business tax credit that I think it's about 240, I'll have to get the exact statistic, but there's about $4 billion in tax credits for small businesses to help offset the costs of their premiums. So she might be her business might be eligible for a tax credit. It's 35% of the premium now, and the tax credit will rise to 50% in 2014. And of course, in 2014, her business, if it's under 100 employees, will be able to buy coverage in the health insurance exchange, which will certainly have lower costs for small businesses.
We'll continue in a minute with more of your calls for Rima Cohen, Counselor for Health Policy to Health and Human Services Secretary Sebelius, on this one-year anniversary of President Obama's health reform law. Stay with us. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and on this first anniversary of President Obama's signing of the health reform law, the administration has been good enough to offer us a health and human services official to take your calls, because there is so much confusion, and the new Kaiser poll shows it. More than 50% of Americans say they are confused about the new health reform law, whether they are for it or against it. So Rima Cohen, Counselor for Health Policy to Health and Human Services Secretary Sebelius, is with us for another few minutes this morning. And Dee in Brooklyn, you're on WNYC. Hello, Dee.
Hi. I'm not necessarily confused. I was really excited about the Reform Act when it first came out, but I still fall under the category of someone who makes too much money to be able to get public assistance, but also I can't afford private assistance, and I'm a freelance employee, so I don't get insurance benefits through my employer.
So what do you do?
That's a great question. And in fact, the Affordable Care Act is many of the benefits and protections are designed precisely for people like you who, the majority of people without health insurance are like you in that they don't get offered health insurance coverage through their employer. Well, you've probably heard about the health insurance exchanges. They will be established in 2014, although states can establish them earlier if they choose to. But in 2014, all states will have these new health insurance marketplaces set up, and they are set up precisely for people like you and for small businesses that can't afford insurance. And there will be an array of health insurance policies that will be much more affordable for individuals. In fact, the Congressional Budget Office has estimated that premiums will be 14% to 20% lower for individuals in the exchange, in a health insurance exchange. You may also be eligible for a tax credit. There will be tax credits that are available for people who are in the lower to middle income bracket. So you may have you may have two ways of being able to afford your coverage, both by being part of this much, much larger pool of people, so you can get the same kind of rates that large businesses get, and also potentially through tax credits.
So most of that yet to kick in, but that's coming.
Yes,
in the
correct.
Law. Dee, yeah. Thank you for your call. We have a one-year birthday article on our politics website by It's a Free Country reporter, Anna Sale, and she notes that the bill is supposed to require all states to cover low-income childless adults with Medicaid by 2014. If they're low-income enough, they would get it through Medicaid. And yet you granted a waiver already to Arizona, which wants to go in the complete opposite direction. Arizona wants to end Medicaid for any childless adult. Is that waiver an admission that the plan can't work, or that states want the opposite of what the administration is demanding?
Well, first of all, I wanted to mention that New York, as you may know, already covers childless adults under its Medicaid program. And so New York is kind of a model state in that respect. There are only a few other states that already do that. The Affordable Care Act will require all state Medicaid programs to cover low-income childless adults and parents. So you're protected in New York, and I understand that Governor Cuomo is very committed to keeping that coverage level in place.
So that's New York's approach. Arizona wants to go the other way and have no Medicaid if you're a childless adult.
Correct. Well, first of all, Arizona will have to meet the Medicaid requirement for childless adults and parents and others in 2014. We did not grant a waiver to Arizona. Arizona had a waiver in place already that it was that had allowed it under a special exception to cover childless adults, which is how most states, including New York, were able to cover childless adults under a waiver. Their waiver is expiring this year, and there is no requirement in the law that they have to renew their waiver. So that's essentially how they are able to reduce coverage, but they will still have to bring the coverage levels back up in 2014.
Mm-hmm. All right. And listeners, you can read Anna Sale's full article about health care at One on our politics website. It's a free country. We have something else there, too. President Obama has stolen a trick from the Ira Glass playbook. You know those pledge spots where Ira Glass calls random people and guilts them into support? Well, Obama's doing the same. He's been cold calling regular Americans to talk to them about health reform. You can see that video at our politics site. It's a free country.org. No word yet on whether Ira resents his being copied by the President of the United States. Glenn in Nassau County, you're on WNYC with
good
Obama
morning.
Healthcare official Rima Cohen. Hello.
Yes, good morning. My question is regarding pre-existing conditions. My wife has insurance. She's a teacher, and she has insurance for the family. If she were to be laid off or some other instance of losing that insurance, at what options do I have at this point? Because I have cancer issues, so I don't want to be left completely without health care. Do I have to wait till 2014, or will I be able to buy into a state fund of some sort to continue my coverage?
Ms. Cohen?
Yeah, are you, thank you for the question. Are you a New York resident?
Yes, I am.
Okay. Well, actually, in New York, again, New York is one of the more progressive states and is, in many respects, a sort of model state for the Affordable Care Act. New York already has some very strong consumer protections in place that that forbid insurance companies from excluding individuals because of their pre-existing conditions, as long as there's no coverage gap. So as long as you don't wait, 6 months to try to purchase coverage. So that protection is actually already in place, so you don't have to wait until 2014. If you cannot afford an insurance policy on your own, and you go for 6 months without coverage, you will be able to avail yourselves of what's called the pre-existing condition insurance plan that all states have set up now under the Affordable Care Act. It's one of those provisions that we call the bridge to 2014, so that you don't have to wait. There's a subsidized pool of coverage for people who can't afford insurance in the private insurance market, and they will get reasonable rates on health insurance coverage through the state. And you can look that up at www.pcip.gov for more information on that. But you are actually lucky to be living in New York State that has a protection that the Affordable Care Act has, but it doesn't kick in until 2014. But in New York, you already have those protections.
Glenn, thank you for your call. We have a few minutes left. Let me tick through a couple of other things real quick. One, on our comments page, someone asks, are dental plans part of health reform?
Well, dental plans are, I'm not sure exactly what it means to be part of health reform. I don't know that there's specific mention of dental coverage. Medicaid, for people who are eligible for Medicaid, Medicaid does have dental coverage. So to the extent that...
But you're not aiming in this law for universal dental coverage or subsidizing it in any way?
There's no requirement right now for dental coverage. There is something that's called the Essential Benefits Package, and all health plans in the exchange, insurance exchange, will have to cover at least those essential benefits. And the precise benefits are going to be spelled out in regulations that are coming later this year. But there is no specific mention of dental benefits,
right,
except for children.
Now, you talked before about the subsidies available for businesses, small businesses in particular, in many cases, in response to Fran and Westchester.
Mm-hmm.
But business groups have been complaining that the credits are too small to relieve the new burdens of the bill in many cases. Even Starbucks CEO, obviously not a small business, but Howard Schultz, the Starbucks CEO, who was famously a supporter of the law during the debate, said this in a Seattle Times interview published yesterday. Quote, "I was very supportive of the president's plan, primarily because I felt it was literally a fracturing of humanity for almost 50 million Americans not to have health insurance. The intent of the bill and the heartfelt commitment to insure the uninsured is the right approach." But then he adds, "I think as the bill is currently written, and if it was going to land in 2014 under the current guidelines, the pressure on small businesses because of the mandate is too great." So what do you say to Howard Schultz and others representing business who say the subsidies sound nice, but they don't really solve the problem of small businesses?
Well, there are some misunderstandings about what the law does and doesn't do. There is absolutely no mandate on small businesses. Small businesses only benefit from this law.
That's under 50 employees, correct?
Under 50 employees, correct, do not have to pay anything extra. And in fact, there's about $4 billion worth of tax credits for small businesses. And we estimate, and this is a statistic that I didn't have earlier, 340,000 businesses in New York, we estimate, are eligible for the small business tax credit. But in addition to the tax credit, that by 2014 will subsidize 50% of the cost of a premium. Again, businesses up to 100 employees will be able to purchase coverage in the health insurance exchange, and they'll be, in addition to the tax credits, if the business is eligible for them, there will be lower costs, and the estimate is about $350 per family policy lower in the exchange. So there are a number of ways that the health reform bill lowers costs.
$350. Fran was saying it's $18,000 on the market.
Well,
it's not much of a discount.
Well, that's $350 minus or not including the tax credits, which again can be up to 50% of a policy and 35%.
And so we're really out of time, but I read on the tax credits that the Small Business Administration is promoting the tax credits available under the law to businesses right now and to tax preparers with April 15th coming up. Does that mean that there are new tax advantages to covering your workers with health insurance, some of the things that you described, that have already kicked in?
The tax credits have actually kicked in. They started in 2010 when the bill passed. So for businesses that are preparing their taxes right now, they can claim, if they are eligible, they can claim the tax credit, which again is subsidizes 35% of the cost of a premium, and that will rise to 50% by 2014.
That is where we will have to leave it. Obviously, there are about 50 billion other things that we could talk about regarding this very complex healthcare law on its first birthday. But we thank Rima Cohen, Counselor for Health Policy to Health and Human Services Secretary Sebelius, for coming on and suffering some slings and arrows and answering some very specific questions about the health reform law and maybe clearing up some confusion, too, at this first anniversary date or first birthday. Thank you very, very much for your time. I appreciate it.
You're welcome. Thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. And coming up next, a newsmaker interview with a lawyer for opponents of the infamous Prospect Park bike lane. And we will take your phone calls no matter what side of that street you're on. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692.